Psalm 145 will be our main key text here. We're going to talk about the Lord's compassion. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And we're going to be talking about it in the area of healing. How many of you know it's not just limited, God's compassion is not just limited to healing. But, you know, when we read in the Bible about the Lord's compassion or His mercy, because the same Greek word and the same Hebrew words are both translated, the words that are translated compassion in the Hebrew and in the Greek are also translated mercy in the Hebrew and the Greek, both the adjective, the noun, the verb, and all that. And so really, it's the exact same thing. Whenever we talk about the Lord's compassion, we're talking about His mercy. Or when we're talking about His mercy, we're talking about His compassion. And when we talk about these things, we're not talking about His ability. We're talking about His nature. How many of you know if you're in some sort of trouble and you come to me and say, Pastor, you know, I know you would help me if you could. How many of you know you've not doubted my my generosity, or you've not doubted my disposition? You've doubted whether I have the ability to do that. And that, I don't believe that's near as, what would be the word? Near as, well, I don't know what the, how I'm just going to say mean. I don't know. As if you would come and say, Pastor, I know you could, but I don't know if you will. Now you have attacked my disposition. You've attacked my character. Or if it was vice versa, me, you, but see, how many of you know? How many of you know that God would rather we doubt His ability than His character?
Yeah.
Because all His ability in the world means nothing if He's not good enough to do it.
Yeah.
You ever thought about that? The devil doesn't really oppose people in believing God's able. You ask about any sinner on the street, is God able to do this, God able to do that? Well, if they even believe there is a God, they'll say, oh yeah, He's God, He can do anything. What's that tell you? The devil does not attack, you know, he does not attack in the area of getting people to doubt His ability. But you ask them, does He want to do it for you, and does He want to do it right now? Oh, I don't know. You know, I've been so bad. I haven't been. And they just go off on their performance rather than His goodness. How many of you know what I'm talking about? And so this sentiment of the Lord's compassion is stated over and over in the Bible. And it's one of His most outstanding characteristics. In fact, I would say it is His most outstanding characteristic. Amen. Amen. To have compassion literally means to love tenderly, to show mercy. Now get this, it means to be full of eager yearning. To be full of eager yearning. What does that mean? That means God's compassion puts a burning yearning in Him to do something for us.
Yeah.
It's not. It's almost as if to say the Lord is willing to do something, it's almost like that's too tame.
Yeah.
It's almost like to say He's willing. In fact, I looked up the word. Remember when Jesus was ministering to that in Mark 8, verse number 1 through whatever it is there, first few verses, it talks about Jesus having this leper coming to Him and saying, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. If you will, you can. See, He's doubting. Notice what He's doubting. He's not doubting His ability. He's doubting His willingness. Which really, whenever we talk about the Lord's compassion, it's a complete revelation of the Lord's willingness to heal. We've got some folk under attack in our church about under physical attacks right now. Let's just go after what the devil's after. You know what I'm talking about? The Lord's willingness to heal is all wrapped up in His character. It's wrapped up in His disposition. It's wrapped up in His nature. His ability's not wrapped up in that. He could have ability but be a mean grump sitting up in heaven with a fly swatter, or like some austere judge just looking for you to do something wrong. He's got the ability to heal, but he's mean and mad, and he's going to hit you if you do. Smack!
Come on.
If he's got ability and he's not good, what does it matter that he's got the ability? That mean, do you understand what we're talking about? And so really, when we study the Lord's compassion, it is a complete revelation of the Lord's willingness to heal. Because that's all about his goodness, his nature. You understand what I'm talking about? And really, when Jesus walked the earth, his compassion was everywhere manifested, not only in the forgiveness of sins, but in the healing of the sick. And we're going to look at those verses as we go on today. But I've had different occasions where the Spirit of God has dealt with me real clearly. In fact, it seems like most of the time whenever he deals with me about this, it's always real clear. And that is that when we talk about what's going to mark this era, this before, between now and Jesus coming back, I'm convinced one of the big characteristics will be compassion and mercy. Dr. Dufresne prophesied that as well. But I get that in my spirit from time to time. It just comes so clear sometimes. The kind of compassion and mercy that will heal people that you wouldn't even heal. If you and I were picking and choosing, we'd pick the elderly grandmas and the dear children, the young children, and you know, the people that have they're innocent in their past. You know, a little baby that has no past, never has done anything wrong. We pick all them. But mercy and compassion will heal just anybody. In fact, mercy is even, if you study in the Bible, let's just read this verse. This is the verse that says it. One of the verses that says it. It's many more times mentioned in the Old Testament too, and in the New Testament, but his mercy is even extended to his enemies. Now listen, if God's mercy is extended to his enemies, the wicked of the earth, I don't know if you know what I'm talking about, but if his mercy is even extended to all his enemies, then would he withhold mercies or common blessings of healing to those that are his obedient children? Wouldn't that be stupid? Wouldn't that be a strange doctrine? Amen. How many of you know the Bible calls healing the children's bread? And so, is God more willing to show mercy, to the mercy of forgiveness to the devil's children, than the mercy of healing to his own? That doesn't even make sense. That doesn't even make sense. Amen. How many of you know he even actually loves his children more than he does the wicked in the earth? Amen. But look here in Psalm 145, verses 8 and 9. Let's read it. In fact, let's all read it out. I got the King James. I don't know what translation you're looking at, but let's read it out loud together. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger and of great mercy. Oh, great mercy. Not just a little bit. Look at verse 9. Let's read verse 9. The Lord is good to some people. Huh? If you've made it through one day without getting mad at anybody. The Lord is good to who? To all. And his tender mercies, plural, are over all his works. All his works. Well, all his works means and includes all his creation. Jesus said it this way in the New Testament. He said, the Lord he sends his rain on the just and on the unjust. You know, there's a lot of good things a lot of wicked people are enjoying because God's good. I mean, just the fact that they get up and they have a sound mind. Just the fact that they are not already dead and in hell. Mercy. The Lord is good to all. And his tender mercies, not his hard-hearted mercies, his unwilling mercies. No, his tender mercies. Tender mercies. Notice it's plural. Tell your neighbor it's plural. That means there's more than one. Tender mercies are over all, say all, his works. Hallelujah. Now, what does it mean, mercies, plural? Well, 2 Corinthians 1:3, write that down. Paul calls God the Father of mercies. You can turn to it if you'd like, but if not, just write it down. 2 Corinthians 1:3, God's called the Father of mercies. Say out loud, mercies is plural. So what does that mean? There's more mercy available from God than just the one mercy of forgiveness. How many of you know forgiveness is a mercy? Bible says over and over that's His mercy to forgive and to restore the right relationship with Him. But here He said God's not just the Father of mercy. If He was just the Father of mercy, that would mean that there's only one. But He's the Father of mercies, plural. The mercies of God are plural. That means there's more than just one. There's more than just the mercy of forgiveness. Hallelujah. How many of you know Ephesians 2:4 said, God who is rich in mercy. Right. Now just remember, whenever we read mercy, it's the same thing as saying compassion. He's rich in compassion. In other words, no wonder Psalm 145 says, the Lord is gracious. The Lord is gracious. Now what's that next two words? And full. Full. Full of what? Full of anger.
No.
Full of gonna get you.
No.
Huh? Full of judgment.
No.
He's a righteous judge. But He's full of compassion. Full of compassion. Well, you think about a glass of water that's full, you can't get anything else in there. It's full. You know, even a lot of His judgments are His compassion. It really is. Remember, the Bible talks about people that are turned over to Satan for the destruction of their flesh. That their spirit might be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. What is that? It's His compassion on them to keep them from going to hell.
Yeah.
We got to relook at some things, maybe. So He's rich in mercy. Ephesians 2:4, He's rich in mercy. That means He's loaded with it. He's loaded in the mercy department. I mean, he's filthy rich. You know what I mean? Not that God's filthy, but I'm just saying that as a human term. He's just loaded. He's just abundant with it. His eyes, the Bible said, His eyes run to and fro throughout the whole earth. What's He looking for? It's to show Himself strong. He's looking for somebody to be good to. He's looking for somebody to be good to. Praise God. That tells us that His mercy, His desire to be merciful is more than just making Him willing. It makes Him eager. If His eyes are running to and fro, that means He's eager. He's looking. He's ever hunting for somebody to show His benevolence towards. Amen. We got to meditate on this. Because, you know, the devil's always, you know, accusing us. Well, you missed it here. God's upset with you here. He's angry with you over here. You know, He's displeased over here. You should be further along over there. And so forth and so on. And how many of you know that voice of accusation is told us in the Bible in Revelation 12:11. That's the accuser of the brethren. And that's the greatest enemy of faith. Condemnation is the greatest enemy of faith that you will ever come up against. You examine yourself in different areas. You're endeavoring to believe God and receive from God. That's the biggest thing you're going to deal with. The enemy bringing up your past, bringing up your shortcomings and failures. Listen, this isn't about you. It's about Him. It's not about what you did or didn't do. It's about what He has done. Somebody said, well, He died for the ungodly. Well, yeah, we all qualify then. We were all ungodly before we got saved. Hallelujah. So it's important that we meditate on these things. I've never understood people who, you know, I've run across them. I remember in healing school, used to run across it a lot. That you'd get to preach in healing real strong, and people would come up and fuss with you. They were brought by their, You know, somebody else brought them. They weren't necessarily wanting to come to healing school. And people would come up and fuss with you and say, yeah, but the Bible says, and yeah. And they were hunting. It's as if they went back to the hotel room hunting for verses to disqualify themselves from receiving healing. Whenever I've been hurting in my life, if I've ever had a condition I needed healing from in my life, I'm looking for verses that have, I'm looking for, so to speak, if I could say it this way, I'm looking for handlebars on my healing.
That's right. Yes.
I'm looking for things to grab onto.
That's right. Amen.
I don't understand people. They're looking for things to disqualify themselves. Oh, you look hard enough, you'll find reasons to disqualify yourself. You can find some obscure verse over in the Old Testament. God's talking to somebody that doesn't even have a relationship with him. And you can say, that's me, and disqualify yourself.
Come on.
And do without. How many of you know the devil quotes verses too, you know? I don't know if you ever read Jesus in Luke 4 that he said, Satan kept saying things to him, and he said, or Jesus kept answering, it's written. But then one time, Satan got the idea, I'm going to quote verses to Jesus. And he said, cast yourself off the pinnacle of the temple, because it's written, the angels will give, you know, be given charge over you. And Jesus said, no, it's also written. So the devil sometimes, he'll quote scriptures. You remember the devil quoted a scripture to Brother Hagin whenever he was healed? And he got up and he was sitting on that chair. And he said, a voice came to him and said, what is your life? Remember that?
Yeah.
But it is a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. Remember, he thought God was talking to him. And he thought God was saying, yeah, you got healed, but now it's just going to be for a short time and you're going to die here just a little bit. Remember that voice came to him? What is that? That's a scripture in the Bible.
Yeah.
And the devil was sitting there quoting that scripture to Jesus. I mean, to Brother Hagin. The devil quotes scriptures. What is your life? It's but a vapor. Appears a little time and it'll vanish away. And then the devil quoted another scripture. And today you will surely die. You know, that's a scripture. That's what the prophet said to King Hezekiah in the Old Testament. Set your house in order. For you today you'll surely die. The devil quoted two scriptures to him, and they were, this might sound like I'm saying the scriptures are a lie, but they were taken out of context, therefore they were a lie. That scripture that said, your life is but a vapor and only appears for a little time, that's not talking about, you know, you not living long. That's not what that's talking about. It's talking about in the as far as eternity goes, we're only going to be down here a short little time. In the flesh, we're not going to live down here forever. We're just here for, when it comes to eternity, even if you live to be 197, you're just down here a little time. And so the devil will take things out of, and so he'll quote scriptures and take them out of context. Don't fight and try to find scriptures to disqualify. Always look for scriptures that say, yeah, right there's me. Right there's me. Hallelujah. 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 So this sentiment of the Lord's compassion, like I said, stated over and over again. There really is no note that we could sound in ministering to the sick that would concern God's character that will inspire faith more than this one. Time after time when we've ministered on things like this, like a Wednesday night, and 10 days ago Wednesday night, we ministered on against condemnation. Person after person came and said, thank you. They're emailing, they're calling, thank you, thank you, thank you. Amen. What's that tell us? The devil's working. He's working in these areas. So that just means we've got to beef it up in these areas. Because what's the devil working on? Is he trying to condemn us? Well, yeah, but really what he's after is our faith. And really, there's no note that can be sounded concerning God's character that will inspire faith more than this one. So let's just hone in on it for a while. What do you say? Hallelujah. Really, faith will rise mountain high when these truths begin to dawn on your heart and your mind. Hallelujah. Because how many of you know it's not what God can do? When it comes to us receiving healing, it's not really what God can do, but what we know that he will do, or what he longs to do, that really inspires faith. Amen. by really showing his compassion to heal the sick all over Jesus' earthly ministry when he walked the earth. He really unveiled the compassionate heart of God towards sick and hurting humanity. How many of you know he said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. And I just believe God wants us, any of us, those of us, because really these services haven't been live streamed because the internet, the Mediacom cable has been down for what, a couple of weeks now. But we're putting it up later because we're going to get this word out. Amen. You know, we're not stopping for the devil. But we've got to keep on looking at this because really, without being established in the compassion of God on the sick as well as the mercies of God on the sinner, there will be a struggle in faith in all of our lives. We'll always kind of say, well, you know, God's sort of maybe not quite happy with me. Satan has worked treacherously, really, to hide this glorious fact from people. And he succeeded almost in eclipsing the compassion of God towards the sick in this generation. Amen. Through religious doctrines, through teachings that say things like this. Well, Jesus just healed the sick to prove his deity. And after he left the earth and after the apostles were gone, then all that passed away because we have the New Testament written down now. And so all those miracles are passed away. You mean theologian, you. If you had a cancer eating out your stomach, you wouldn't talk like that. You wouldn't try to rob people of the revelation of the same merciful Christ, the healer that walked this earth when he walked this earth, ascended up on high to become our high priest. And he is a merciful and faithful high priest. Just as merciful today to all who come to him as he was whenever he walked this earth. You cruel theologian. Seems like everybody changes their doctrine whenever they get sick. Amen. Hallelujah. But even if theologians do talk about God's power, they'll magnify God's power to heal, but they won't go and tell people about his willingness to do it for all. Because they don't know why he healed the sick when he walked this earth. He didn't heal the sick. We don't have one time where Jesus said, I healed you to prove my deity. To be real honest with you, Jesus didn't minister as the Son of God. Now people run out and say, well, he said Jesus wasn't the Son of God. I didn't say that. He was the Son of God. I said he didn't minister that way. He ministered like man today does under the anointing of the Holy Spirit. I'll tell you why. The reason why is because he didn't do any of these miracles until the anointing of the Holy Spirit came on him. He was 30 years old before he did any of the miracles that he did. And the reason he started doing them in that 30 was that the baptism, and whenever he's baptized of John, the Holy Ghost came on him.
That's right.
And that's when he started working these miracles. If he was doing it because he was God, I didn't say he wasn't God before the Holy Ghost came, because he's God. He's born of a virgin. He's born of God the Father. The seed of God came into Mary's womb. He was virgin born by the seed of God himself in heaven.
Yes.
He was God in the flesh.
Yes.
So I'm not saying he wasn't God in the flesh. I'm just simply saying if that's the reason he was ministering that way, why wasn't he ministering that way whenever he was 20, 25, 30? You know, all those years. Why? Because he was not ministering as the Son of God. He was ministering as a man anointed by the Holy Ghost. Why else would he say, the works that I do shall you do also? Think about it. So people that magnify God's power and say God can, but you know, we just don't know that it's his will for everybody. They don't know why he healed the sick. And let's look at some verses. Let's look at several here. Let's start in Mark chapter number 1. Let's turn to some of these. Mark chapter number 1. Jesus never once healed the sick and said, I did that to prove my deity. But what did he say? Mark chapter number 1, look at verse number 40. Mark chapter 1, starting in verse number 40. There came a leper to him, beseeching him and kneeling down to him and saying unto him, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. So this man was doubting the will of God or the will of Jesus to do it. He said, I know you can, but I don't know if you will. How many of you know he's not healed yet because he didn't know if he was willing? Yeah. It's not enough to know that God can. That's not enough basis for faith. You understand that? The devil doesn't fight that. Obviously, here's a man that said, I know you can. Same way today, many people know he can. The devil doesn't fight that because he knows that's not enough basis for faith. But he does fight the compassionate nature of Jesus, and he fights the blind people to that because he knows when people get a hold of his compassion on hurting and sick humanity and they receive that light and they receive that revelation, that is a basis for faith. Faith begins where the will of God is known. Faith begins where the compassion of his nature towards the sick is known. Amen. Now notice he said, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. Now look at what Jesus' response in verse 41. He was moved with compassion. He was moved. What does the Greek word for compassion mean? It means eager, yearning, to love tenderly. He was moved with eager yearning. He was moved with tender love towards this man. And he was moved with compassion, we would say. And notice what he said. And put forth his hand and touched him and said unto him. Now see, right there is compassion, because you realize touching a leper, that's a contagious disease. And that's how it was transferred through the touch. It'd be like putting forth your hand to touch someone that's burning up with COVID-19 fever. And you know that's going to transfer that to you. Unless you know God's power to protect you from it. Hallelujah. And so he's touching a contagious person. That's compassion. Isn't that right? And he touched him. He was moved with compassion, put forth his hand and touched him and said unto him, I will. I will. That ought to ring through your heart and mind, because the Bible said he's no respecter of persons. The Bible said he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. I will. In other words, I will. It's my will that you be clean. Be thou clean. And as soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy departed from him and he was cleansed. He was cleansed. Hallelujah. Now notice, I will be thou clean. Now, what moved him to heal this leper? Well, I just need to prove again prove my deity. No, what moved him was his compassion. Yeah. Compassion. Yes, hallelujah. I said that's what moved him was his compassion. Yeah. I will. Now the word I will, in other translations, says I am longing with all of my heart. Yeah. Oh my. Have you ever been around somebody suffering? Somebody you love, somebody you know, somebody, maybe a child, maybe, I don't know, if that just gets me. Young children are attacked like that. It just moves you on the inside. You ever been around somebody like that? And you so long for them that it not be that way, or they not be in pain, or they not be, you know, bedfast, or you know, whatever. Do you believe God has less compassion than you, or are you superior in your, you know, development of your character? Huh? You know, people that say, we don't know if it's God's will, they're claiming, if they have compassion on that person, they're claiming that they have more compassion than God has on them. And I'll guarantee you, you have less than God has on them. There's a verse over, in fact, I want you to turn to this one, it's not far away, over in Mark chapter number 3. Go over there to Mark chapter number 3. This is an interesting passage here where Jesus was ministering to a leper here. And starting in verse number 1, you're just there a page or so away, it says, he entered again in the synagogue, and there was a man there which had a withered hand. And they watched him whether he would heal him on the Sabbath day that they might accuse him. He said unto the man which had the withered hand, stand forth. And he said unto them, is it lawful to do good on the Sabbath day or to do evil, to save life or to kill? But they held their peace. Because they're all focused in on he's working on the Sabbath day. And you shouldn't be doing any work on the Sabbath day. How many of you know religion will get you all focused on, you know, rules and regulations and do's and don'ts and this is the right day and that's the wrong day and all of that, rather than on this person's hurting. It'd be like somebody getting run over by a semi-truck and they're out there laying on the road hurting and they're groaning and you say, well, today's not the right day. We'll come back tomorrow. That's craziness. So Jesus is addressing that. And he said, is it lawful to do good on the Sabbath day or to do evil, to save life or to kill? But they held their peace because they couldn't answer that without getting attacked and looking like a fool. And when he had looked round about on them, look at this, with anger, being grieved. What was he angry and grieved about? For the hardness of their hearts. He said unto the man, stretch forth thine hand, and he stretched out his hand, and he was restored whole as the other one. What mercy, what compassion. But here's what I wanted you to see. What was he angry at? Their hardness of heart. The Taylor translation says, deeply disturbed by their indifference to human need. Are you here or are you going home? The indifference to human need. Notice Jesus was basically revealing there why he ministered to that man. Because he was not indifferent to human need. He was very touched. And just like he is today, touched with the feeling of our infirmities. That's his nature. We need to meditate on that until that dawns on us. Amen. Are the needs of sufferers today the same as in that day? Don't they need as much compassion? You know, there's people today that are suffering and really, you'd almost say, and when people get to this point, I'd just rather die. I'm hurting so bad. Or this is such a struggle. Somebody's a mother with children. The doctors have been obligated to say to them, you know, we've done all we can. We've done our best, but it's just not enough. There's not anything else we can do. Are they in need of compassion? Here's children that are about to lose a mama. Yes, they are. They've got to know. We've got to tell people. And this is not just for us preachers to tell people. You go tell people. You go tell people. You find them and you say, the Lord is very compassionate and very merciful. He longs to heal you. And just share the testimonies of what he's done for you. There's a story in Mark chapter number 5 of the madman of Gadara. He was healed. Well, it was really the devil cast out of him. Remember that man? He's cutting himself with stones. He's crying out. He's tormented. He's vexed. He's got all his clothes torn off. He's a mess. And Jesus cast that devil out of him. And they went into the town to tell people, and everybody came out. And Jesus was sitting there ministering to them. I mean, just the man sitting there, Jesus is teaching that man, had the devil cast out of him. So you got to get the word in people. And he's sitting there, and all these people came back out of the town, and they bid Jesus to leave because they were scared. You know, all these things were happening. They weren't quite sure what's going on here. And so Jesus got ready to leave, and the Bible said the man, the madman, the one had been mad, you know, the madman of Gadara, he said he wanted to go along with Jesus. Boy, why wouldn't you? You're tormented like that. I'm not leaving you. I'm going with you. I'm hanging around for a while. And look at what Jesus said to him. He said, no, he suffered him not. He said, no, go home to thy friends. You can read it there in Mark chapter 5. Go home to thy friends and tell them what great things the Lord has done for you. Now listen to this. And has had compassion on you. Hallelujah. You know why he cast that devil out of that man? Because of his compassion on him. He's tormented. Amen. And has had compassion on you. So he wanted him to go tell it. How many of you know the more you tell it, the stronger you get? Jesus wanted him to get stronger and stronger and stronger. And so you read over there in Matthew 15, Jesus eventually came back across the sea again. He went back over there and great multitudes. As soon as they knew he was there, great multitudes having sick and blind and halt and maimed. I mean, they just, as soon as they knew he was there, they started saying, he's here, he's here, he's here. And they went around and they got him all and they had a great big healing campaign. Multitudes healed. You can read it in the 15th chapter of Matthew. You know why? Because somebody went around telling of the compassion of the Lord. And this compassion was even extended to a possessed man, a tormented man. Hallelujah. We got to get this message out. The Bible said they all came out and they all these people were healed. And the Bible said they glorified the God of Israel. How much more Jesus would be glorified today, and that would be said again today, if we would keep telling people about the compassion of God and receive the compassion of God and just tell it and tell it and tell it and tell it. And if preachers would tell as much about this compassion on the sick as he is compassionate on the sinner. And if every preacher would keep telling it and keep telling it, there would be as much faith for healing mercies as there would be for forgiving mercies. And it would be said in the United States and around the world, they glorified the God of Israel. How much more he's glorified in healing than he is in sickness and disease. Woo! He's good. And his mercy. Mercies. Endure forever. I said he's good and his mercies endure forever. Hallelujah. 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 Praise God, praise God, praise God. Jesus rebuked the Pharisees in Matthew 23:23. He said, you tithe of mint and cumin and rue. In other words, they're going in their garden and getting 10% of everything that came out of their garden. And he said, in other words, you're keeping the law down to tithing every little thing that grows in your garden. He said, but you have left off the weightier matters of the law. Judgment. That's if you look it up, it means, righteous, doing right judgment, not perverted judgment. Mercy and faith. Jesus said, they're the weightier matters. He said, these things ought you to have done and not let the other done. In other words, he's not preaching against tithing there. He said, you should have done all those things and not to leave this undone. He said, in fact, these are the more weighty issues. He's not preaching against tithing. He's just simply saying, listen, when people have messed up, when people have not done everything that the word says, thank God for mercy. I said, thank God for mercy. Thank God for mercy. You know, you can get caught up with all the do's this, do's and don'ts, and don't do this, and don't do that. And you can come get to a place where you're just flat hurting in your body. And you can come to the place, Lord, I've done everything I know to do. Everybody on the planet has a right to mercy. And just throw yourself over on the mercy of God. If there's something I don't know, be merciful to me. Help me. And that's a cry of faith. He cannot deny. He cannot turn away from. I said he can't. Blind Bartimaeus heard Jesus was coming by. Thou son of David, have mercy on me. He called him. He stopped it. It stopped Jesus in his tracks. Faith in his mercy will always stop Jesus in his tracks. Why? Because Micah says he delights in mercy. Hallelujah. I said he delights in mercy. Micah 7:18. He delights in mercy. In other words, something you delight in doing. How many of you delight? Anybody delight in fishing? Anybody delight in some recreation of some kind? I mean, when you get a chance to do it, I mean, you get at 4 o'clock in the morning. Hey, hello. Good morning, sunshine. I'm ready to go. Let's go fishing. Do you delight in doing it? It gets you up. It gets you going. And he delights. This is what gives God kicks. This is what gets him going. This is what he loves. This is what gets him. He doesn't slumber or sleep, but so to speak, gets him up and going out of bed. This is what it is. A chance to show mercy.
Amen.
A chance to show. You know why? Because it shows his nature. And he's ever longing to reveal his benevolent heart. He's ever longing to. In fact, he eternally exists to show how good he is. The devil eternally exists to blind you to it. He doesn't want you to see that. He wants you to be focused on you. What you have done, haven't done, you know, all those things. Am I preaching all right this morning? Thank God. So Jesus rebuked those Pharisees. And he said, this should you have done and not let the others undone. Well, in other words, we should be focusing in on mercy. Focusing in on faith. Things like that. Amen. I believe he's the same today. I believe he's the same today. Now, hallelujah. You getting anything out of this?
Yes,
tell your neighbor he's full of mercy.
He's full of mercy.
Amen. It's not really faith in God's power that secures his blessings. It's faith in his love and his willingness to heal and his mercy. So, a lot of people will say, when it comes to healing, they'll say the Lord is able rather than the Lord is gracious. We read there in Psalm 145, the Lord is gracious. If you look up the word gracious, it means disposed to show favors. Now, if you want to know what disposed means, it means he's leaning that way already.
Hallelujah.
That's his inclination. That's his disposition. That's the lean. He's already towards that direction. He's not leaning towards judging. I'm leaning towards. I'm just looking. Oh, you said a cross word. Bam, I see you're not going to get healed today. I'm telling you. No, that's not where he's leaning. He's leaning towards mercy. He's leaning towards being favorable. Hallelujah. That's his disposition. That's his character. That's his nature. And that's where faith is built, whenever that's revealed. But a lot of Christians won't say that. They won't say the Lord's gracious. They'll say the Lord is able. You know what I'm talking about? Because the devil doesn't want him to say he's gracious, or doesn't want him to know he's merciful. And so people's teaching, as well as their lack of teaching, has kept them from saying the Lord is gracious. Amen. But how much faith does it take to say the Lord is able? You want the answer on that? Zero. It doesn't take faith to say the Lord is able. I said it doesn't take faith. The devil knows the Lord is able. Actually, the devil knows the Lord is willing. But he hides people to that latter fact. He hides people to God's willingness and his nature. Because he knows Satan is willing to magnify the power of God. He's okay with us magnifying the power of God. Because he knows that that's not sufficient basis for faith. You understand what I'm talking about? He knows the Lord's compassion, and the knowledge of the Lord's compassion and willingness is sufficient basis for faith. And I believe this is one of the reasons that we can boldly say that it is the Lord's will to heal today, because he is compassionate. And we're going to look at that in a few minutes. But say it out loud, the devil knows the Lord is able. Do you know the devil knows some things that he will tell people is not true? He tells people there is no God. But James says the devils fear and tremble, knowing that there is a God. James said that. Thou believest that there is one God, the Bible said. He said, the devils believe that and they tremble. But they tell people there is no God. So they'll tell people things they know aren't true. You need to get a hold of that. You know, because the devil said it doesn't make it true. Just because he said it doesn't mean he doesn't know it's true. He knows it's true, but he'll lie anyway. He'll keep lying to you and say, you're not healed, you're not healed, you're not healed, but he knows you are. You got to hold him up to what you know from the scripture. You got to examine all the evidence, look at all the reports, and come to the logical conclusion, well, I'm healed because the Bible says I'm healed. And the Bible says it's his will because he is good and his mercy endures forever. And he's the same merciful, compassionate God today as he always was. All right, so we've looked at a couple of verses in the Gospels. Let's look at some more about this, the fact that he healed because he was compassionate. We read it in Mark 1. Look in Matthew 14. Matthew 14, 13 and 14. I want to encourage you to focus in on this. I want you to talk about all week. Between now and next time I see you, I'll see you before next Sunday, but let's just say till next Sunday. Let's be all week, every day, moment to moment, be thinking about or talking about the Lord's graciousness. Meditate on these scriptures we're giving, like Micah 7:18 there. Meditate on that he delights in mercy. Meditate on all these verses that talk about his eyes run to and fro. He's eager and yearning. And just see how you come back to church next Sunday. Hallelujah. Glory to God. All right, are you in Matthew 14? Look at verse 13 and 14. Matthew 14, verses 13 and 14. It says, when Jesus heard of it, he departed thence by a ship into a desert place apart. And when the people had heard thereof, they followed him on foot out of the cities. And Jesus went forth and saw a great multitude and was moved with compassion towards them. And he healed their sick. You know what that implies? He healed every one of them. Doesn't say he healed some of them. He healed their sick, meaning every one of them. You can go through, in fact, if you read I don't know if the transcript is out, but, well, it's in the book. Yeah, it is in the book. What's it called? The Word on Divine Health and Healing or something like that. Our scripture CD, or get the text on that, get the book on that. There are scripture after scripture where Jesus, it said, he moved with compassion. He healed the multitude and he healed them all and he healed them all and he healed them all and he healed them all. There's scripture after scripture like that in the New Testament. Hallelujah. And here's one of them, and it shows us what moved him to do it. And to prove his deity, he healed them all. No. It was not about a deity situation, although he was deity. But he was doing it out of love. Now, how many of you know Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. He came to reveal the Father. And so it was mercy that did it, moved him to heal. Now, in Matthew 20, verse 29 through 34, we won't go there. There are two blind men that asked for mercy, and Jesus said, believe ye that I'm able to do this. He touched their eyes, and they were healed. They asked for mercy of having their eyes opened, and Jesus healed them, proving that healing is a mercy as much as forgiveness. Amen. Say that. Healing is God's mercy. Just as much as forgiveness. How many of you noticed that the sick in Jesus' day came and asked for mercy? They didn't call out for healing as much as they called out for mercy. In our day, people think that if you call out for mercy, or that the only mercies that are available from God are to the sinner for forgiveness. But these verses tell us that mercy extends to the sick. And extends to all the sick. That's why 2 Corinthians 1:3 calls God the Father of mercies, plural, because there's more than one mercy from God. According to Mark 5, deliverance from demonic affliction is mercy. Amen. Hallelujah. You remember, I'll just give you another verse. This is in the New Testament, James 5, verse number 11. The Bible talks about that in James 5, 11. It said, you have heard of the patience of Job and have seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercies. Pitiful doesn't mean what we call today pitiful. Oh, you're so pitiful. It means to have pity or compassion. And so the Lord, notice it said, the Lord is very pitiful. You've seen the patient Job, heard of the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy. So what is that saying? It's referring to Job's healing and deliverance. Isn't that right? And it follows with the, and it referring to Job's healing and deliverance, it's calling God doing that pitiful and merciful. Can we see divine healing in the mercies of God again? Absolutely. And then it goes on just a few verses later, and it says, is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church. Let them pray over him, anointing with oil in the name of the Lord, the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
In other words, God's having provided for all man's needs, not just his forgiveness of sins, because of his compassion, is still saying, what do you want me to do for you? He's still saying, where can I be merciful? Where does it hurt? I said, he's still the same today. Why? Because this is after his resurrection, after his ascension up to the Father, and after his seating at the right hand of the Father God. Isn't that right? And so then we got another verse there that tells us in the New Testament. Now, it tells us in Matthew chapter number 9, and this is where I want you to turn to, because this, we want to finish this up by getting into something really important to understand this morning. You can see what he was like when he walked the earth. Can't you? How many of you know all you need is one verse, Matthew 13, what is the verse number 8? The Jesus Christ, the same, yesterday, today, and forever. Now, you might be sitting here saying, Pastor Jay, you haven't said a thing that I haven't heard before or that I haven't known because of you teaching on this in the past. I'm not trying to just refresh your memory. I'm inspiring you on the inside to reach, to rise up on the inside and to grab onto some things. Faith doesn't come by heard. It comes by hearing and hearing. Don't try to just say, well, check. I know that verse, check. Checking boxes. Mentally logging what I'm saying. Let this minister to your heart. So anyway, Matthew 9. Have you turned there? Have you found that? Let's look in Matthew chapter 9, starting in verse number 35. And we're going to go down into some verses in chapter 10. But let's start in Matthew 9, verse number 35. Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, that's one of those verses we quoted on the scripture CD, he went about doing good and healing all. Every sickness and every disease among the people. And when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. And he said unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he'll send forth laborers into his harvest. We've spent time on that, a lot of time actually, talking about the pastoral ministry and how important that is. But let's keep on reading and see if we can learn some more here. The harvest is plants, the labor is a few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of harvest, send forth labors into his harvest. Now verse number, how many of you know Jesus didn't talk in scripture and verse and this wasn't written in scripture and verse. It was later divided into scripture and verse, help us to reference things. But it went on to say, and when he had called unto him his 12 disciples. Notice, right after he said, pray the Lord of the harvest, send forth labors into his harvest. Right after he was compassionate, he was moved with compassion. When he saw the multitude and healed their sick. He called for the 12 disciples. He gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. Now the names of the 12, and it mentions them. I won't read all of them. And verse number 5, then the 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, go not unto the way of the Gentiles and into the cities of the Samaritans. Enter ye not. Later he sent them into those places, but right for this time it was just Israel. Go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, and as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the leper, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely you have received, freely give. All right, so what's happening here? Jesus, because of his compassion on the sick and hurting humanity, especially the healing was being so often mentioned here, because of his compassion on them and the healing that was flowing because of that compassion, became too well known for the harvest to continue to begin to be reaped by only one reaper. So Jesus' compassionate heart was full of yearning and great for the great numbers who couldn't reach him because of the press. See, there's more people than he as one person could get to because he's in a physical body and he can't get to everybody. Because he looked on the multitude and there's so many to reach. And so he said, we need more laborers here. Pray, agree with me. And then he actually laid hands on these laborers, 12 of these laborers, and sent them forth. So really it was as though he was able to only minister to a portion of them, but his great big compassionate, benevolent desire and yearning to reach more of them who were sick and bound moved him to thrust forth other laborers to heal and to preach and to minister the same way that he was ministering. He said, you go and you do these same things. You heal the sick. You raise the dead. You cast out devils. Isn't that right? So his harvest is also today of a great nature. And even much greater today. There's many more people today. And so he needs laborers. But he wants, we've got some laborers in some areas today, but we don't have enough laborers in this area. We've got laborers who understand the compassion of God on sinners. But then they leave them up to the doctors. Well, you're going to have to go to the doctor for that. You're going to have to get an operation for that. And I'm not preaching against doctors and operations. I don't mean that. I'm just simply saying we need to preach to people that his compassion is the same for the sick as it was back then. The reason that people don't preach the compassion of God today for the sick and the will of God today for the sick is because they don't know it. But we need the same kind of laborers as Jesus was, where he kept preaching his compassion, kept talking about his compassion, and kept being moved by compassion. Amen. Really, his compassion revealed through these 12 laborers that he sent out later necessitated 70 more be sent out. Because as the more they published it and the more people that were receiving, the more laborers were needed. And so, be honest with you, later, in fact, go to John chapter number 14 here now. You're in the 10th chapter. Go to John chapter number 14. Jesus said this. He's talking to the disciples, and the disciples are asking him some questions. Oh, I'm in Matthew. Where was I? Oh, that was, yeah, go to John, sorry. John chapter number 14. John chapter number 14. Are you getting anything out of this? This is really what I wanted to get to. Hold on. We're just now getting to some good things. I know it's all been good, but John chapter 14. Look with me, starting in verse number 12. Well, you remember that Philip said, show us the Father, and it suffices. He said, you've seen me. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. You remember that? Verse 10, believe me that I'm in the Father, and the Father in me. The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself. The Father dwells in me, he doeth the work. Believe me that I'm in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the work's sake. Verse 12, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go to my Father. And whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. Ask anything in my name, I'll do it, if you love me, keep my commandments. Now, he's saying here that he was getting ready to go to heaven. Now notice that chapter 14, verse 12, again, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believes on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do. You know, I have read that verse for years, and I have noticed that part. The works that I do shall you do also, and greater works, but I never noticed the last part of that verse. What does it go on to say? Because I go unto my Father. 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 Hallelujah. I said, because I go unto my Father. Now notice the last part of that verse. Because I go unto my Father. He emphatically promised that these same miracles. Notice he said the works. The works. The works, not the single work of forgiving people. He did forgive people. But the works. Remember, Jesus was manifest to destroy the works of the devil. The works that I do, shall you do also. That has to include those healings. Has to. Or else Jesus lied about it. If it's not healing, then why in Mark 16 did it say, go and preach, and these signs will follow them that believe in my name. They'll cast out devils. They'll heal. Lay hands on the sick and they'll recover. That's his works. That's his works. Amen. So the works that I do, shall he do also. And greater works than I do, because I go unto my Father. That explains so much to me when I saw that. He emphatically promised that these works would still continue to manifest through us, through you and me, through our laying of hands on the sick, through our prayers, through our anointings and so forth and so on. He emphatically promised that these same things would reach the sick The same compassion would reach the sick through us as well as when he was here. Just like it did whenever he was here. Amen. And he tells us why. He says, because I'm going to the Father. Okay, we need to understand that. We need to understand that. Amen. His departure was opening the way for this compassion to be manifested in a much greater scale. Because he said it's going to be greater. I didn't say it, he said it. I said he said it. Amen. When Jesus went to heaven, he was not finished with this ministry of compassion. He had only begun. The Spirit of God used Luke, the writer, the human writer of the book of Luke, used Luke, remember the Spirit of God inspired the scriptures, but God used Luke to write the book of Luke, and so he wrote the book of Luke, but he also was the human person that God used to write the book of Acts. All scriptures are given by the Holy Ghost, but God uses people. So he wrote the book of Luke and the book of Acts. When Luke gets to Acts, he starts in Acts 1:1 saying, "The former treatise have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and to teach until the time he was taken up." Notice he didn't say he ended something whenever he was taken up. He said he was only beginning. When he walked this earth, what he was doing was only the beginning. Whew, I'm going to preach myself happy. He wasn't ending something, he was beginning something. And this earthly ministry was to continue to become greater and greater. He said, greater works than these shall you do, because I go unto my Father. So they're to become greater and greater. As more and more laborers of this kind, who know this compassion for the sick and the hurting humanity, go forth with this same gospel of compassion as he preached. Amen. And it was to be accompanied by manifestations of his compassion, even on the sick. Am I preaching all right? Jesus said, it's expedient for you that I go away. Well, tell a sick man that today. Who looks and reads and sees the gospel accounts and Jesus healing all who needed healing, all who came to him. He was moved with compassion. I will. It is my will. Be healed. Be clean. Yeah. Tell somebody today who's in need of healing and deliverance from pain or their baby to be healed. And tell somebody it's better for you that Jesus left. Yes. Tell somebody that today. They wouldn't believe it unless they understood what Jesus said right here. Are you with me today? If Jesus left and it was expedient for us that he went away, that means that this flow of compassion toward the sick did not end with him. I mean, with him ascending up. You understand? That wouldn't be true if it ended with him. If his going away withdrew or even modified the manifestation of his compassion on healing the sick, it wouldn't be true. How can any sick man today read of Jesus' healing mercies on the sick when he walked the earth and think it was to our advantage that he went away, unless this fact were true, that it wasn't the ending of it, but is only the multiplication of it?
Yeah. Amen.
Amen. His becoming our high priest opened the way for his compassion to be manifested on an even greater scale.
Amen.
Amen. Now, look at Hebrews chapter number 2. Let's finish this up. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, this has been helping my faith this week. I've been meditating on this all week. This has been helping my faith more than anything I've been feeding on for healing in the last couple of weeks. In the name of Jesus. This makes you rise up and say, yes, I'll take mine now.
Amen.
Hebrews 2, look what it says. Hebrews chapter 2, verse number, let's just read verses 17 and 18. Wherefore, it in all things it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a, what's the word?
Merciful.
Merciful and what? Faithful high priest in things pertaining to God to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. For in that he himself hath suffered, being tempted, he is able to succor, that means help, them that are tempted. All right. Now, what's this talking about? Jesus, in this verse, is the one it's talking about. He's a merciful and faithful high priest. But this verse has no reference. Remember, the word mercy means compassion. This verse has no reference, say zero reference, to Jesus' compassion as was manifested during his earthly ministry. You're looking at me like, well, sure it does. No, it doesn't. This is talking about his heavenly ministry. Amen. His earthly ministry ended that he might take on a heavenly ministry. He ascended up on high and sat down at the right hand of the Father God to assume and enter in for the first time. And I could prove that by the 8th chapter of Hebrews. He didn't enter into the high priestly ministry of the mediator between God and men to all who come to God come through him. He didn't do that until after his blood was shed. His blood had to be shed for man to really have access to God. To come boldly to the throne of grace. So Jesus was the mediator, became, as he rose from the dead and ascended up and offered his blood at the heaven in the heavenly holy of holies. He became the mediator between God and man. He became the high priest of the church. Amen. And this verse is not talking about his compassion when he walked the earth. Notice that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest. Today he's high priest. He wasn't high priest when he walked the earth. Amen. And so this is his ministry from heaven. His earthly ministry only ended so that this compassion as high priest would be able to be spread out in a greater way. Amen. He promised his compassion would continue to even be greater after he went away. You notice what he said? He said, the greater works than these because I go to my Father. Because I go to my Father. What's he going to do when he goes to his Father? He's going to be his blood. Listen, his blood on the altar, turned the judgment seat into a mercy seat. And now, we come over to the 4th chapter of Hebrews. We come over to the 4th chapter and the 9th chapter and the 10th chapter. But let's just make this quick and go to the, well, we'll look at the 4th and the 10th. Look at chapter number 4. Seeing then, this is verse 14, Hebrews 4:14. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. I don't know, we might get on that Wednesday night. We'll see. We have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. Whoo, glory to God. How can you sit there and look at me like that? Did you get it? Did you get it? He opened the way for all men. When he was on the earth, he's just one man in one place. He couldn't get to, I mean, everybody in every city every day and all of that. He couldn't get to other lands across the ocean and so forth and so on. But today, he took on and assumed he's that same merciful Jesus. He's still moved. The King James here says he's touched with the feeling of our infirmities. The word touched with the feeling of is the Greek word translated all over the New Testament, compassion. Compassion. He's still compassionate. He hasn't changed. No wonder it says Jesus the same yesterday, today, and forever. And his compassions have not been withdrawn. They have not been modified since he left and went to be the high priest. He's still a merciful and compassionate and faithful high priest. And he's still the same healing Jesus. He's still full of mercies, plural. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Notice he's touched with the feeling of our infirmities, plural. Not just one. Not just the falling into sin. He's merciful on that. But mercies is plural. Verse 15. Touched with the feeling of our infirmities, plural. Woo, glory to God. I said, glory to God. I don't know how you can sit there and look at me like that. Hallelujah. 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 Every man who teaches today that healing is not for all virtually is teaching that Christ's compassion toward the sick today is at the very least modified since his exaltation. And the Bible preaches the exact opposite. It is not modified. It is not withdrawn. It is greater.
Yes. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. No minister today should take a position, and I challenge any minister listening to me, take a position that veils or interferes with the manifestation of God's compassion and divine love for the sick. Amen. How can you be cold and callous like that and say miracles are done away with? Like I said, they get a cancer eating out their stomach, they won't be so cold and calloused. Amen. I was attacked in my body a couple of weeks ago. And one of the things, I went to his presence and I started just talking to God. And he started talking to me about this. I said, God, I said, if I've been unmerciful or hard in any way towards anybody hurting, I said, forgive me.
Amen.
I want all, I want, he's going to have mercy. He's going to have to show mercy.
Come on.
Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
This is the key. Okay, we'll wrap up with this. All that Jesus set in the church today to minister to the sick, whether it be gifts of healings, whether it be commanding James, is any sick among you, let him call for the elders of the church. Whether it be any of these things that Jesus set in the church for the healing of the saints, it's all out of mercy, out of his compassion. The very fact that he took stripes on his back when he was crucified. If you look it up, the word stripes means wounds, bruises, welts. You know, his flesh was torn open. His flesh was broken. His flesh was pained. And by those stripes, why did he take those stripes? For us. For our healing. That's compassion that made him do that. No other way to explain that. That's the only compassion. All that he did, whether it be the gifts of healings, whether it be healing endowments, whether it be, tell those that are sick, call for the elders of the church so they can lay hands on them. Whatever it is, that was all because he is a merciful and faithful high priest. And he's distributing that through those gifts of healing. He's distributing that through the laying on of hands. He's distributing that through the stripes he took on his back. He's standing there waiting for you and us, you and I, seated there, you waiting for you and I to do what it says here in Hebrews chapter 4, come boldly. Look at verse 16, therefore, let us therefore come boldly. Come boldly. How do you come boldly? You know you're going to be met with mercy. You know, according to verse number 14, we have a great high priest that's passed into the heavens. He said he's touched with the feeling of our infirmities. Hallelujah. That's how you can come bold. That's how you come with full assurance of faith. Because you know you're going to be met with that same compassionate Jesus who has now assumed an even greater ministry of high priest. You're going to be met with the same compassion. Come over to the 10th chapter. I did it. I preached me happy. Hallelujah. You can read it in verse number 19. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Christ, by a new and living way, which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh, and having a high priest over the house of God. Having a high priest over the house of God. You get it? What's Hebrews 2 say about this high priest? He's a merciful. In other words, that means compassionate high priest. Having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near. You'll be met with acceptance.
Yes, you will.
He said, no one who comes to me while in any wise cast out. You need to lay hold of that like a dog with a bone. No one.
Yes.
No one.
Hallelujah.
Includes me.
Hallelujah.
I come to him, I come boldly, and I'll not get a slap on the wrist. I'll not get, you've done this wrong, you've done that wrong. I'll get mercy!
Yes.
Glory to God. Hallelujah. Whoo, my. So come boldly, he said, having a high priest. Verse number 21. Having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a fear and quaking and shimmering and afraid we're going to get smacked. No, let us draw near with a true heart. Hallelujah. With full assurance of faith. Having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience. You ought to draw a line there and put guilty conscience. That's what that means. Sprinkled from an evil conscience. And our bodies washed with pure water. You need the water of the word to wash all those feelings of condemnation out of your flesh. Our bodies washed from pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. For he is faithful that promised. And he's also merciful. I preach myself happy this morning. Hallelujah. 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 People say miracles have been done away with, but you've never heard anybody say compassion's been done away with. Because it's not. Hallelujah. And neither is faith in it. I said neither is faith in it. Are you out there? This is what 1 Corinthians 14:1 means when it says, King James says, follow then, I can't even quote King James anymore. I quote this other translation. It just basically is transitioning from the great love chapter, you remember? 1 Corinthians 13 is the great love chapter. But if you, he comes to the end of that great love chapter, in chapter 14, verse 1, he says, follow after charity and desire spiritual gifts, but rather that you may prophesy. One translation says, follow then the way of love as you set your heart on gifts of the Spirit. In other words, he's saying, this is the doorway into it. Loving people. Compassion. Amen. When compassion moves on me, it never fails. Healing never fails. Because love never fails. Listen, if you're standing on the ground of your good works, you can fail in faith. But if you're standing on, he loves me, he loves me, he loves me. The devil said, you miss it so often. Yeah, and the blood cleansed me. Hallelujah. I'm calling out for your mercy, your compassion. You're a loving, compassionate Jesus. And you not only have compassion on sinners, you have compassion on the sick. Praise God. Praise you, our God of mercies. I've been on this like a dog with a bone. Hallelujah. He can't fail. Love never fails. Never fails. It's just starting to dawn on some of you. Took me the whole service, but it's just starting to dawn on you. We're not done with this. Hallelujah. Why does he say set yourself, like this translation, follow then the way of love as you set your heart on gifts of the Spirit? Why does he say that? Because that's the doorway into these things. Don't get all caught up in, I want to be used in this, I want to be used in that. Why don't you just get caught up in loving people? Just loving, hurting humanity. That's the flow of this great mercy, these power gifts and all these things. Amen. And you know, even though no one is present with gifts of the Spirit in manifestation, you're still invited to come boldly to the throne of grace and obtain mercy and find this grace to help in time of need. Because there's someone seated there who's always touched with the feeling of your infirmities. Hallelujah. 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 Now, Jesus could have, whenever he went to the cross, he could have said, no, I'm not going through with this. The Bible said he could have called 12 legion of angels. Got him out of that, just like that. Y'all still with me? Instantly delivered him from a horrible death. Isn't that right? Because that's what he was facing. But he knew that to do that, the entrance to the throne of God would be closed. He knew that it would still and remain be a judgment seat. And he had a compassionate desire that that be turned to a mercy seat. Hallelujah. Because it meant if it wasn't a mercy seat, there would only be judgment seat and no mercy available for fallen man and all his needs, whether spirit, soul, or body. Has it dawned on you yet God wants you well? Hallelujah. 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 Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Say, the Lord is good.
The Lord is good.
And His mercies
endure
forever. You know why? Because He's seated there forever.
Amen.
We got it made.
Yes.
We got it made. We got it made. I'm telling you what, we got it made. 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 Never, never, never are we going to have to do without. Never, 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 ever, ever have to do without. Because you can appeal to the mercies of God. Even if we've missed it. Glory to God. You can appeal to the mercies of God. Think about King Saul. No, I mean Saul in the New Testament who killed Christians. Called out for mercy. Got it. How do you position yourself to receive what God is yearning to do? How do you position yourself? I'll tell you how. Remember Cornelius had a visitation from an angel. Said, send men to Joppa. Go down there and inquire of one Simon the tanner's house for one named Peter. And he'll come and he'll tell you words whereby you can be saved. And so he did. Remember Cornelius hadn't heard the gospel. And he's a Gentile. And Peter didn't even agree that he was supposed to be legal. It was legal to do this, to go preach to Gentiles. God in His mercy on the Gentiles moved in this way to get Peter and all the apostles at that time past their own thinking. You know, because they just thought it went to the Jews. The gospel was just supposed to go to the Jews. So he said, send men to Joppa. Well, Peter's down there praying on the housetop, falls into a trance. Remember that story? And he sees the sheet let down and all these animals rise, Peter, kill and eat. There was clean and unclean animals on that sheet. No, he said, God said, kill and eat. No, Peter said, I don't eat anything common or unclean. Jesus said, what I've cleansed, don't call thou common. He's trying to tell him, I've cleansed the Gentiles through the blood of Jesus just as much as the Jews. Don't call. And that happened three times, and then it was lifted up. And Peter's sitting there doubting what the thing meant, what the whole vision meant. And there was a knock at the door. And those men Cornelius had sent, they arrived. And the Spirit said to Peter, three men seek thee. He said, rise, go with them, nothing doubting. Because he's sitting there doubting. Remember that? Go, rise, don't doubt. Don't doubt. Don't doubt, go. And so he goes down and finds them. Cornelius had a vision and an angel appeared, so forth and so on. He goes, well, okay. So he's going over there. And the Bible said Peter started preaching when he got there. Remember that? And whenever he's preaching, while he's yet preaching the word, the Holy Ghost fell on him. That's God's eager. God's not, he can't wait till the end of the sermon. That's eagerness. Well, how'd Cornelius and his family, how'd they get in on that? How'd they position themselves to receive what God was eager to do? Now, here it is. You can look it up when you go home or later or whatever. You find it if you go over there and look at it. Whenever they got there, the three men Cornelius sent got back to the house, met Cornelius. Peter and Cornelius met. And Cornelius told the story, what happened. And then he said, we are all here present before God to hear what God has for you to say to us. That's how you position yourself to receive the mercies of God. Let's put it this way. To receive what God is eager to do. Wasn't God eager to baptize? I mean, they had to get saved first. While they're sitting there hearing, they must have believed it and said, I believe that. All it took was enough preaching for Peter to give a basis for faith. And as soon as they had a basis for faith, they just took it in and down came the blessing. Woo, glory be to God. I mean, the whole blessing all at once. Salvation, the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And here they are. Here they are receiving what God was eager to do. God couldn't even wait till the end of the sermon. In fact, they got so filled with the goodness of God and what Jesus, God did in Christ that they couldn't wait till the end of the sermon. Praise be to God. That's how you position yourself. You just sit before the word, hearing it. Hearing about the mercy of God. Hearing about the compassion of God. Hearing about He's good. We got to get past all this other stuff and just focus in on this for a while.